Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, November 25th, and it is 1:30 p.m. This is Talk on the Rock, and I'm your host, Colette Zarnicki. Today, we have the two captains of the Alaskan Gypsy, Audrey Cotter and Scott Dickerson. They've been working in the Wrangell shipyard on their sailboat for the past couple months, and they just put her back in the water to sail. They've been documenting their experience on their YouTube channel, which is called The Alaskan Gypsy Life. We don't have enough staff at the moment to answer phone calls, so we do apologize if you wanted to call in and ask a question or make a comment. Hi, Scott and Audrey. So good to see you again. Was I correct? Are both of you captains?
Go ahead, Captain Cotter. Let him know.
Definitely a crew member.
Oh. Gotcha.
Captain Cotter, that does sound good, though.
Maybe someday.
Okay, so one captain and a crew member.
Yeah.
Well, she gets the honorary title of first mate.
Yes, thank you.
Great. How are you all today?
Doing really well. Thank you.
Tired of plumbing projects, so thanks for the break.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for coming in. So I interviewed you guys a couple weeks ago, and I'm still putting together that story. So this interview will be a longer story than what I'm putting together, which is good because there's so much to say and so much that I learned a couple weeks ago. So she's floating now. How does it feel?
It feels really nice to be back on the water.
Yeah, it's magic. I was sick of living in a trailer home in the shipyard. It's kind of how it felt like. Boat had been on concrete for months. It's like I was losing perception. Like, is this the reality now? We bought a boat and we live on land. So being in the water feels remarkably magical after that period.
Yeah. Will you just tell us once you launched from being in the shipyard, what was that like? What did it feel like?
Well, for me, it was a little bit disorienting. It happened pretty fast. And just being on the water, of course, it was just the hustle and the hype of making sure all the systems were working and watching Scott try to get the engine started and, just the anticipation of being ready. And then all of a sudden we were floating. And honestly, I just started sobbing. Just looking at the community with so much gratitude. Tear up just saying it, and just such a beautiful space to be. So it was really an intense and amazing experience for me. What about you?
It's pretty technically overwhelming, I guess. I had a lot of systems torn apart on that boat, and then when you go back in the water, of course, it's a little bit nerve-wracking. Like, okay, all the new through holes and all the, like, everything was disconnected. It had holes all over it from all of the through-hole fittings to the shaft, the prop, and the engines, and just everything had been dismantled, and it all needed to come back together. And even though we felt like we were in the shipyard for a long time, it always feels like a rush to the last moments. I was still putting paint on the night before on the bottom. It's just kind of the way it goes. It's a typical deal. So Audrey was handling the emotions, and I was mostly worrying about getting all of the systems operational so we could actually drive away and not have to get put back in purgatory.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And I watched a recent video of yours, and somebody asked you if you were getting paroled, right?
Yeah, that's what Don at Superior Marine said. He goes, "Are you getting paroled tomorrow?" And I thought, that's funny. That's kind of a good way of looking at it. It does feel like you put in your time there and you get let out.
Yeah. So so you launched, what day was that? Was that Saturday or Sunday?
Thursday.
Never mind.
Yeah.
You could have told me anything. I have no idea.
It was going to be Monday, then it was going to be Wednesday, and then it was going to be Thursday at 1, and then it was Thursday at noon, and then it was Thursday.
Awesome.
Around 1.
Great. And so you realize that there's more things to work on, and right now you're working on plumbing.
Yeah, it was. It's a boat. It was launched in '92, and it was pretty well done up at that point. But a lot of the systems are old, and sometime in the last 10 years, for example, the main heating system has a what they call hydronic water circulating from a boiler unit, kind of like that system hasn't operated in at least 10 years, I think. And so that's just an example of one of the major components of the boat. It's winter time. We're planning to head north. And so that's what I'm working on. I hoped it would be a day. I'm on my third day of that now. It's kind of the way things go, finding out that the old copper pipes are actually kind of rotted through in spots. And so it's just one thing leads to the next, and a lot of unfinished or unstarted projects still on the boat. And in the shipyard, really just focused on the mission critical stuff, the ones that I kind of looked at everything and thought, can we float with this or without this? Mm-hmm. Yes or no. And if I could put it off, I did, because there was so much mission critical work to do on the hull. So that's really what we're here to do. And the rest is much less pressure. We can start living in our floating home, not in the shipyard, and enjoying the lifestyle and do these projects at a little bit more of a leisurely pace. Although this plumbing one has not felt leisurely, but so then there's like changing oil filters, fuel filters, all that type of regular maintenance that was due as well as major. We don't have a toilet in there. The bathroom or head is completely torn apart. There's not even a floor in it. And the plumbing needs redone in it. And, you know, flooring needs done. No sink, no running water in there right now. And the water system, it's just the endless list of that type of project. But you know what? The boat drives. It floats. We can sleep comfortably on it. We can cook. And so it's a functional house.
Are you planning on leaving Wrangell before you get, you know, the bathroom fixed and all that?
Technically, what is a bathroom? I think it's open to a little bit of interpretation. I grew up with an outhouse, so 5-gallon buckets will generally do the job, and that works. They don't have any plumbing issues with those. So, what do you think, Audrey?
We've done it before, so.
Yeah, we're kind of homesteaders at heart, and so not too worried about those things, though they're nice. But.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. So, you know, you're about to launch away, float away from Wrangell. You've been here for a few months.
Hopefully we'll be motoring away, but if it doesn't work out, we may float away.
You have the sails, though.
Yeah, we haven't opened those up yet.
We don't know what they look like.
Oh. So how does it feel to almost depart from here?
It's felt like I went into some sort of a void, honestly, as far as lifestyle and activity and things. It was just so all-consuming, basically. I didn't really do anything but work on that boat for the last 2 months straight, and there was a lot of, I did a lot of, like, 20-hour days in the middle of that. You know, I was eating dinner and going to bed at 5 a.m. a few times, and it got a little crazy. And honestly, I'm kind of still in the fog a little bit. Yeah. And the idea of leaving here, I'm just still so focused on the imminent projects. And we're doing our little trips around, little sea trials, and figuring out what's working, what isn't. And still have a lot of things that I definitely want to get to before we travel too far away from the hardware stores. And so I haven't really emotionally gone there yet.
Yeah. I've been having the luxury of having many dynamic experiences in Wrangell, and so the idea of leaving, it feels like it's not a forever thing. It feels like it's a short time. I just love this place so much. Maybe many of you listening have heard me say that over and over, but I have definitely fallen in love with Wrangell for many, many, many reasons. And in our Four Seasons Live Aboard lifestyle, definitely feel like this has got my heart in Southeast. And so leaving, it just feels like it's just part of the transition, and we'll be back. And I've just had so many blessed experiences here, sharing Reiki energy healing and building relationships and enjoying your community services. It truly has been just a really, really intensely amazing experience for me. So I know I'll cry again.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm taking you with me. I'm connected to many of you now in so many amazing ways. So anyway, it's just exciting.
Yeah, Wrangell's definitely lucky to have you guys here. Mm-hmm. And I know we love you too.
Thanks.
So in our previous interview, you said the Alaskan, okay, just to get a background on the Alaskan Gypsy, it's 80 feet overall with 66 feet on the deck. And it's a Thomas Colvin design. I found this interesting because I never heard of Thomas Colvin before. Scott, you said all the boats you fell in love with ended up being one of his designs. Tell us more about that and what makes the Alaskan Gypsy special to both of you.
Yeah, I don't know what is with me and that guy. It's like every one of his boats I see a picture of or see in person, I think, oh, now that is a nice looking boat. And it's kind of a joke at this point, as we actually bought a smaller Colvin in Petersburg a couple years ago, and I didn't think I even knew what Colvin even meant until afterwards. I like that boat a lot. We're working on selling it sort of passively because we don't really want to see it go, but one steel Colvin should be enough for a fella. I just like the boats have nice lines in my opinion, and a lot of people would agree. They're kind of a rugged, functional workboat style motor sailor. I grew up commercial fished all over Alaska, various fisheries, and I've always been drawn to boats with the commercial fishing sort of aesthetic, rugged. I especially like the older boats, which there's lots of around here. Just beautiful shapes and lines, and they look functional and they look rugged, they look self-reliant, and that's how the Colvin designs are. Not really into the fiberglass yachts and that type of stuff. I really like these capable, simple but durable looking boats, and that's what Colvin specialized in. And so the Gypsy story is quite a long one, how we found it and came to be stewards of this fine vessel. Colvin's designed a lot of boats. A lot of them were built by boat owners and other yards. He sold the plans and built boats himself, and they're all over the world. Most of them are built in steel, and usually they were motor sailors or sailboats, and a lot of them were used for light commercial use as well. This one was actually designed to be a cargo freighter. It's like a small, big ship, essentially. It's one of his biggest designs.
And you have a workshop in there, too.
Yeah, the forward 20 feet of the Alaskan Gypsy is a mobile fabrication workshop. The original owner was a welder by trade, and he had the vision of traveling around Alaska doing welding and repairs and remote property maintenance and things like that. And I couldn't think of a more fitting career for myself, honestly. It's pretty magical. Never thought of a boat like that having a workshop in it, you know, with welders and bandsaws and all this stuff. So,
yeah, I was actually just looking up Thomas Colvin. I didn't have enough time to like filter out through all the other Thomas Colvins, but do you know if he is still around?
No, he's not. And people are trying to get his plans, and there's been some chatter on the internet, but there's a Facebook group for Thomas Colvin that's run by a enthusiast of Colvin. And I've met people that have met him and worked on boats building, and there's a lot of them out there, and the Facebook group is very active. It's a very kind of tight-knit group. You post any Colvin question on there, you definitely will get answers, and it's been fun because of my enthusiasm for his designs, just to find a little tribe that shares that and has a lot of good resources there for information, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What makes the Alaskan Gypsy special to both of you?
I just personally love that she can be our home and take us to all the coastal communities and explorations and adventures that our hearts will take us to. And she just feels like home. She's so comfortable and so beautiful. And I think that's amazing.
Everything I've learned about this boat has just made me like it more and more, too. It's from the very beginning. I spotted it from a distance, maybe a half mile away in the harbor. It wasn't for sale or anything, and I just could not believe it's like love at first sight kind of thing. Like, you know, who knows why, but I instantly thought, now there's, that's the ultimate boat there. Mm-hmm. Just sort of combines all the things. Yeah. And I, at that point, I had no idea. I had no idea it had a workshop in the bow or mm-hmm. anything, but it's a, I wanted a sailboat for the alternate option of being able to sail. I would love to sail, have not sailed hardly at all, but very interested in the opportunity to learn and do that. Mostly will be motoring, so I wanted a capable motor sailing boat. I wanted it steel, so because I like to run at night and not worry about logs too much and things. I wanted to have a pilot house so I could drive in the winter, not outdoors. And so motor sailor, steel, pilot house, you start looking at all these things, there's just not very many options. And then I wanted at least 50 feet because we had a 42 foot or 44 foot boat. And while it was great for the two of us, it was not much for family and friends to join us for anything more than a day or two. So we were looking for our new floating home that was also efficient and self-reliant. Holds 1,200 gallons of fuel, 600 gallons of water, have a water maker to install on it, has a chest freezer, you know, generator. It's got all the things to be a really self-reliant vessel. And it's efficient, too. Probably less than 2 gallons an hour at 8.5 knots. So we can cover a lot of ground with just the engine. It has a good Cummins engine in it, heavy duty gear. And it's just kind of everything. I love everything about it. And well, I think once we get to playing with the sails, it's going to be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, totally. Very inspiring. Definitely. I'm so excited for you guys. So she's also kind of famous to other people, right? There's paintings of her long before you owned it. That's what you told me before. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Well, the Alaskan Gypsy, if you look at her, I mean, for me anyway, it looks like she could come right out of a storybook. And her story actually symbolizes that, being built by a welder for, you know, his retirement home. And can you jump in real quick?
Yeah, it's an unusual boat by anybody's measures, whether you like the way it looks or not. It's an odd looking vessel. I haven't been able to find another. The hull is actually, Thomas Colvin named it the Gypsy, is the design. He called it the Gypsy. And then I think that's why they called it the Alaskan Gypsies. They added the pilot house on. It wasn't originally designed to have a pilot house. So that's that nice big heated house in the back where you can sit there with good visibility and operate in any weather. So it's unique even for Colvin designs in that regard, and actually gets a lot of attention from other Colvin enthusiasts because it's an unusual Colvin with that pilot house on it. But yeah, it's unusual, and I think it just catches your fancy. That's how it is for me. All of Colvin's designs are sort of, they get your imagination going. They look like they're ready just to head off to faraway lands without thinking twice about it.
Yeah, very unique vessel.
Yeah, and it's got the lines and the three masts. It's just odd. You don't see many three-masted boats around. Our other boat is a schooner, mm-hmm. two masts. And so it's unusual. And then the size of it, too, there's a lot of 30 to 40-foot sailboats around. When you start getting the 40 to 50 and up to 60, there's just not very many of them. And so anyone is a little bit unique in this one. There's something sort of fanciful about it. It's a little bit cartoony looking in some ways, but
definitely.
But also no joke at the same time. Right. So, but, you know.
She's beautiful.
We love it. And we're taken by it. Not everybody is, I'm sure. It's not for everybody, but there's enough other people that have, they look at it and they feel inspired in some way. Whatever it might be.
Yeah, yeah. And so you got her in Ketchikan, but she also was stationed or parked wherever, whatever, in Anchorage, right?
Well, it was built in Anchorage. Okay. So Dave Herschert started building it in 1979, I believe. And it was a bit of an icon in Anchorage. A lot of people I've talked to know of the boat as it sat along the highway, apparently unfinished for over a decade. And it became a little bit of an icon. And then Dave and his late wife, Pass, his new partner or wife, Peg, they got it launched in 1992. And then it was their dream retirement home. And they write so lovingly of it. There's all these notes and stuff from them on the boat. And you could tell they just absolutely adored this boat.
Mm-hmm.
And the alignment with their kind of ideals and dreams and aspirations are really in line with ours. So there's just a lot of fun sort of connections between their dream of the boat and what we're actually, we feel like we've been handed the torch in right. a bit of a legacy, I guess.
Yeah. Amazing. So really, okay, so you bought it recently and you mentioned that you've only had really like two full days of on the water besides before putting it in the shipyard here. What were those couple days like, and does she feel like home to you now since she's been back on the water?
Those first couple of days when we took her from Ketchikan up to Wrangell were amazing. It was super sunny, very warm. We got to stop and swim and play. And it was a dream, honestly, a dream come true to look out the window from the wheelhouse and see the sun glistening off the water and that bright red paint on those detailed railings. Truly, it was just kind of, it felt like I was in a dream. And yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing is kind of hard to believe. I feel so honored and grateful mm-hmm. to even be able to take care of this boat. It's such a stretch, you know. I mean, the only way that we could afford it is because of this time here in the shipyard. It had severe electrolysis damage from not having its zincs changed for years in the Ketchikan Harbor, in the Bar Harbor, which is known to have some stray current issues. So it was well maintained up until the electrolysis attacked it, but without that and without the support of the previous owner, mm-hmm. He decided that he wanted us to have the boat because he loved it like a child and he felt like we were a good match. And it all feels a little bit surreal, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't have the money to go shopping for a large boat like this. And so even being able to live on it feels like the owners are going to come back and kick us off or something.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels a little bit like pinch me, honestly. It's such a big boat. But it's so much it's so comfortable. It's mm-hmm. our only home. We don't have property or house or cabin anywhere else. So it is our home. And our home just moved from the concrete to the ocean. It feels pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And that trip up here for me was very magical, also overwhelming. Mm-hmm. The boat was in need of major repairs, and we were trying to limp her up here to the shipyard, but it was also just unbelievably perfect. We had northern lights and mm-hmm. moonrise and glassy water, and we enjoyed our 2 days and then got ourselves inspired for months of hard work and spending.
And that was back in July or June?
Mm-hmm. Late July.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what's your plan with life on the boat now? Do you want to stay in Alaska?
For the short term, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody tells us that boat can go anywhere in the world. You know, people who know these types of things and have sailed around the world look at the Gypsy and say, oh, man, you can go anywhere you want with that. So who knows? The bug may get us eventually. And I can tell you we're not super motivated to go north where it's snowing in single digits. We're kind of enjoying this 40 degrees down here. And so I always think extrapolate that mm-hmm. we might just think, you know, 60 sounds pretty good.
Right. I can see that.
That's funny because I was going to ask you if you think you might go to the North Slope in the Arctic.
I kind of doubt it. I've been up there. It's fun to visit, but I never wanted to boat there. And honestly, I don't want to go to hot climate. When it was too hot here in Wrangell for me working in July. And even some in September. When it gets over 65, I'm pretty much cooked. Mm.
So how do you plan on supporting yourselves financially through this next chapter in your lives?
Yeah, I'm going to continue to do what I've been doing, which is sharing Reiki energy healing in the different communities that I go to, and also through distant work with that. And then also I do content creation for a company called Nomar up in Homer, Alaska. And Scott and I are open to more digital creation opportunities as well.
I did photography for 20 years as my main career, and I also did surf charter trips around the state on a boat called the Milo, which some people know. And so content creation, photography, videography has been my main career, among many other things, to include woodworking, timber framing, welding, land development, equipment operation. And the Gypsy is kind of the perfect platform for all of our interests, to be honest. And I could have 100 careers and 100 lives on that boat just fine. And I just got to pick which ones to follow, really. Remote property development, I love doing that. Excavator and skid steer operation stuff, and welding and marine repairs. And I'm not an expert in any of these fields, but I have a bit of experience in a lot of them and enjoy the work. And the Gypsy is a good platform for that. So all that stuff, along with telling the story of the adventures and living in the wilderness year round in Alaska, it's honestly even exciting for Alaskans, you know, just to. I grew up fishing and have been on and off boats my whole life, but there's not very many people that live on a boat all year round, and not just a float house in a protected bay. We'll be moving around and covering some ground and exploring and telling stories and hopefully finding some remote work to take care of people's property and move freight and do fixed projects and, I don't know, open to all kinds of things. See what messages we receive and what opportunities come floating by.
Yeah, and so with the storytelling, you have a YouTube channel, The Alaskan Gypsy Life. How has that been going?
It started off with a bang, pretty much. It's going pretty well. The boat is an excellent character for the story. She's well-loved.
Yeah, we feel like we have a pretty unfair advantage with such an interesting, eye-catching vessel to include in everything, but... it's been fun. We've just been trying all kinds of things and trying to figure out what's easy, fun, and low friction for us to share stories, and been really surprised by the response. It's been very positive. And even Alaskans seem to be enjoying following along with what we're up to, which is a real honor. I know so much stuff on TV or the internet or YouTube makes you just roll your eyes and like, oh my gosh. So we're trying to share authentic, real life.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it, I think, is pretty boring,
mm-hmm.
but not to everybody. And it's amazing. We've tried some really long, slow paced, like excruciating. I could never watch some of these videos that
Me
we're sharing.
Either.
But people are loving it. And there's a lot of older gentlemen around the world, lots of Australia, New Zealand, the UK, Middle America. They just seem to really enjoy living vicariously through the grind as well as the highlights. I'm amazed at the appetite for even like a 2-hour plumbing video that I'm probably going to do here soon. I bet people will like it. I will never want to watch that video ever.
I probably will.
God help me.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting to document the journey for sure.
But we're looking forward to changing from shipyard only to like adventure and scenery and wildlife and you know, exploring and touring other boats and telling other people's stories as we discover and travel around Alaska. That's what excites me. It's not going to be a boat restoration channel.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the Gypsy Life, which is like, I'd love to show people the things that we discover that are fascinating. The people that we discover, the stories. I love the maritime history around here. All these old wooden boats are very inspiring to me. And I would love to tell some of those stories and the people that take care of them and captain them. So.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got one fun coming up on the Heritage Harbor tour, so stay tuned.
Fun. Okay, great. Awesome. Excited for that. So my last question is, and I should have asked this first, but we'll end with it. You were land dwellers. Mm-hmm. What inspired you to get on the water and do this?
We've both always really loved the ocean and feel like the ocean's just been a primary foundational part of my being. And I'll just say we went from Homer to live remote across the bay from Homer with the 44-foot sailboat, just kind of test it out and see what it felt like doing a cabin work arrangement. And we just fell in love with that. And we just wanted more. We wanted to be able to go further and do more. And so we needed a bigger boat, and here we are.
Yeah, we laugh. I joke. I'm not sure if I was a pirate or a Viking in my previous lives, but I just feel the most at home on the water. I don't really feel that comfortable on land all that much. I'm just my character, My personality loves the ocean, all the challenges, and the total immersion in the natural elements and living in accordance with nature and weather, seasons and wildlife and tides. That's what I love to do, and living on the water is what really gives you that raw, ever-changing, always adjusting, constant flux state of being, which living in the flow can't do it any better than on the water.
So true.
Yeah. Is there anything else you would like to add to this before we wrap up?
Yes. Rangel, thank you very much for your hospitality and kindness and so much advice and assistance. And we felt very welcome here. And I know we're some annoying sailboat couple with YouTube channel and needing help everywhere we go, and all the patience and support. And we're really happy with our time here. We've really enjoyed Southeast. I grew up in Homer. I'm really enjoying my time down here and love the culture and the maritime history and all the people here. It's been a wonderful time. Thank you very much to all of you that are listening. You're part of a wonderful community.
Yes, ditto, and we'll see you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on. That was Audrey Cotter and Scott Dickerson with the Alaskan Gypsy before they venture off into their new chapter on the water. We're going to hop on into World Cafe.